Dr. William Nuttall, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Judge Business School podcast series today. We're taking a look at helium, how it's used, how it's produced, and what's happening in terms of demand and supply today. Let's begin by asking you how helium is used.
Helium is used in a wide variety of technological applications in two forms. One is a very cold liquid, which is used primarily for cooling magnets in medical and scientific applications, and also as a gas, which is inert, and which can be used for cleaning out, purging, to use the jargon, gas tanks that would contain flammable materials. It can be used. It's used in welding as a cover gas. It's used by deep-sea divers as a breathing mixture. And in increasing quantities in recent years, it's been used by the fibre optic industry and the electronics industry.
Is there a revived interest in helium today, and if so, why?
Well, helium has actually got a very long history throughout the 20th century and into the 21st century. So interest has been there for very many years, way back to the days of the rigid airships of the 1930s. But interest comes and goes in helium. And the helium industry has changed over the years. America still plays a dominant role, but increasingly it's becoming a global business with a broad range of players. And yet, despite this broadening of supply, there are occasional crises and tightenings of the market that cause concern to the end users who are trying to gain access to helium for their needs.
The main suppliers of helium are?
There are five major companies in the Western or global market of commercial helium. They're in alphabetical order: Air Liquide, Air Products, the combined company BOC Linde, Praxair in the United States, and then from Japan there's Nippon Sansa.
And so if you've got those kind of suppliers, what about the demand side? I believe the US is very significant.
Well, the US has a long and historic relationship with helium. It was the country that first developed helium, and it's blessed with having the best geological supply of helium. And it took a strategic view about helium in the mid-20th century. And so the United States very carefully husbanded its helium resources under what is now the Bureau of Land Management and its so-called Cliffside Field. And so the United States at points in history has had an effective monopoly on the supply of helium and has been able to control the access of foreign countries to that helium. But in recent decades, it's become much more of an international market operation. But the role of the United States, both its companies and its federal government, is still of central importance to the helium market. But it's noteworthy that the U.S. government has decided that by 2015, an intention to ramp down its strategic helium stocks and to sell them into the global market. However, as we speak, all are awaiting a new U.S. government report that's expected imminently, which is expected to make fresh recommendations about U.S. resources, reserves, and supply.
So will it become better used in the future?
Here at Cambridge University, we've been conducting a system dynamic study jointly between Cambridge Judge Business School and the Department of Materials Science and Metallurgy, under the support and sponsorship of two entities, the industrial gases company BOC Linde and Cullum Center for Fusion Energy. And coming together, a PhD student, Jiming Kai, has done a system dynamic study looking at exactly this question, the predicted future dependence of price and quantity of helium supply. And as a consequence of that modelling, and it depends upon some assumptions, the broad conclusion is that helium won't really reach a peak, it will reach a plateau from around the year 2030. And that plateau will be at substantially higher volumes than are in the market today, or almost double today's volumes. But then that plateau will continue without further growth until about the year 2080. At which point helium supply into the market will decrease quite markedly.
So then Will we see the market increase or contract? I mean, how will the market react to helium in the future?
Well, one of the things that comes out of our model is the price behaviour of helium. And we do see a steady rise in prices throughout the period where helium supply is maintained, right up beyond the year 2080. So the helium prices rise from today's levels by a factor of roughly six. And so the market will function and there will be price responsiveness. But one thing to understand about helium is that it's essentially an oligopoly with only five suppliers in the global market. Another thing to say about helium is it's a very unusual commodity, and that's one of the reasons that we were interested to study it. Because it's a byproduct of natural gas. And with most resources, if you don't use them, well, they stay essentially under the ground to be used potentially at a later date. That's not the case with helium. Helium as a byproduct of natural gas is such that it has to be extracted from the natural gas in order to be made available for use. And if the helium doesn't enter the global supply chain, then it stays within the gas, within natural gas, and then is taken through the whole natural gas supply chain till finally an end user, like an industrial facility or even a domestic house, combusts it, burns it, at which point the helium enters the atmosphere. So any helium that's not extracted and used will in fact run through the natural gas supply chain and be lost. It's not kept safe for a later date.
And do you think it offers any solutions in terms of the broader global energy predicament that the world finds itself in? You say that the US is really the significant player.
Well, the relationship between helium and energy is an interesting thing. As I've said, it's a byproduct of natural gas. So it's a byproduct of one of the fuels of, let's say, the 20th century. And yet it's extremely important for certain energy options of the second half of the 21st century. And here I'm broadly thinking about various forms of nuclear energy. It's fair to say that helium is not much used in energy industry today. But advanced nuclear energy systems are likely to need a lot of helium. And I'm thinking particularly of two types. One is fission power plants, so the fundamental physics of today's nuclear power plants, increasingly wanting to go to higher temperatures, would use helium as the gas to turn the generator set. So rather than boiling water to steam, you'd run helium through the generator set and use that to turn the turbines, and much greater efficiency. The other future nuclear energy source that could need a lot of helium is nuclear fusion energy. If nuclear fusion energy is going to work, it's going to rely, at least in its conventional form of magnetic fusion, on very, very large magnets. And the simplest and most obvious route to making those magnets work is to make them of so-called superconductors, which have to operate at very, very low temperatures. And helium has the fundamental property that it's the coldest liquid that there is. And so it boils at minus 269 centigrade. And so, yes, it's a wonderful cryogenic liquid for cooling magnets. And the fusion power station of the future would have some of the largest magnets all cooled with liquid helium. So these two nuclear energy sources of advanced fission power systems and nuclear fusion systems are likely to need a lot of helium in the late 21st century. But where will it come from, given, as I say, that it's a byproduct of the natural gas industry? And I hear that for climate change reasons, we're supposed to be getting out of fossil fuels.
So that's the big cliffhanger, is it? Whether actually it's there waiting to emerge to become a bigger market in the future, or if perhaps it just gets forgotten as something that's a byproduct of something from the last century.
Well, I think that the point is that as the prices rise, as they will, some users will substitute out, and they will be able to achieve their needs with alternative routes. Now, one of the risk of being somewhat flippant, one of the uses for helium is as a lifting gas, but that sounds a bit technical, for balloons, including party balloons. And I should say that people are willing to pay quite a lot of money for helium for their party balloons.
It gives you a squeaky voice.
It gives you a squeaky voice, yes. So of course you don't have to have party balloons. You could have some other way of celebrating a birthday party. So it's easy for them to substitute out. More importantly, for instance, the medical equipment, medical scanners also involve magnets, and they have been cooled with to low temperature. And historically, they would use a lot of liquid helium. But increasingly, that technology is evolving so that rather than working with a tank of liquid helium, they work with compressed gases, with pulsating pumps that, through a different thermodynamic process, achieve the low temperatures needed to operate the scanner. So these new scanners use so-called dryogenics. They don't actually use any liquid coolants at all, but they do need compressor pumps running all the time in order to keep cold. And so what you're doing in that case is you're substituting your demand for liquid helium with a demand for electricity, because these compressor pumps are very energy intensive.
So it's a fascinating field to study at the moment, because very much the jury's out.
Yes, and I think the relationship of the United States to the future of helium will be very interesting. Will the United States really ramp down their strategic supplies? Will they be largely replaced by new international entrants from the liquefied natural gas industry in particular? Because increasingly the natural gas industry is moving to shipments based on liquefied cold natural gas, and that favors helium extraction. So helium is going to be coming from more and more places from around the world. It's going to be becoming from more places, perhaps with a larger number of players. And there's even the prospect that some adventurous companies might say, well, we won't just extract helium as a byproduct of natural gas. We'll actually go looking for helium gas under the ground just for the helium, exploration for helium. And there's just the first signs that this is underway. So I think looking ahead, that there will be change. There'll be change on the demand side for helium. There'll be change of the helium supply. But the next 10 years are going to be very interesting indeed.
Well, you've certainly taught me a lot today, Dr. William Nuttall. Thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Judge Business School podcast series today. I've enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Bonnie.